Hallelujah. In the name of Christ, we commence our testimony section. So this afternoon, we praise and thank God that we have our four counselors to testify, to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. So first, we should call JT.
Let us all bow our heads and pray in silence.
Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. Today I would like to share with you how God guided me through my high school years and my college years. I came to the United States when I was 14 years old, and before that I don't speak English. Okay, you learn, when I was in Taiwan, you learn their words, American phrases, how are you? You always say, I'm good, thank you, and you. Even though you're bad, you just say, you don't know what else to say, so you say, I'm good, thank you, and you? Then they will say the same thing back, so that's how good my English was. I don't know anything else. And when I came here, I was 14, I was just dropped right into high school. I started in ninth grade, and I get my full schedule. I went to a private school. Then I didn't know any English, but my English was still the best in my family. I have a younger brother and my parents who do not speak English. They could not help me with anything. So all they did was register me for a school, then I went to that school. Okay, so the first day I went to school, I just look at the schedule, then I find the rooms, then I go. I sit there, but I don't know anything. I sit through, I see white people talking. Then I just said, I don't know what they're talking about. I went through my art class, my history class, my English class, my PE class. And so I spent a day knowing nothing, then I went home. It was frustrating. I was just like, oh, the day has ended. Yes, I can go home. Then second day, I went back to school. So first period, I checked my schedule. I went to the first period, my PE class. I went into the locker room. There are people I don't know. Like, they're not my classmates. That's not my teacher. I don't know what happened. Okay, so I sat in the locker room for that whole period. I consider myself to be a pretty good student. I never ditched a class. That's how I ditched my first class. Okay, so I sat in the locker room not knowing how to say a word. I don't know, like, where's everyone? This is not my classroom, and I don't know what happened. I don't know anything. So I sat there until the bell rang. Then I move on to my next classroom, the history class. So I tried to blend in. It's one of the top one survival skill, you blend in. So I went into my classroom. I realized that's not my teacher, that's not my classroom. Then the second day of school, I spent my whole day wandering around the campus. I just don't know where my class is. You can laugh now, but you have no idea how frustrating that was. You don't know any English. You don't know where you're going. You're just there. No one's there to help you. I don't have a phone. I can't call anyone. Then after about 2 weeks, I realized they rotate the schedule. So on Monday, you start with first period. On Tuesday, you start with second period. So 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1. So I was in all the wrong classroom for like a week and a half. And no one knows I was there for the wrong class, and I didn't know anything about my class, so I went there. But not knowing English also caused me to have really bad grade. When I was in Taiwan, I was a pretty good student. I took pride in my homework. I make sure my grades are decent. But when I was in high school, I failed everything. I got a D in my art. I do not know what I need to buy. I can name the color red, blue, yellow, that's it. But the brushes, the board, I don't know anything. I came to class without anything. The teacher gets frustrated, why don't you speak English? And I failed my art class, my English. I barely survived my PE. I don't even know the instruction. I see people run, then I started running with them. They stop, I stop. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, so I just follow along. I even failed my math. And that was the most frustrating thing for me because I do not read a single English word. Whenever they pass down the question, please answer this. I do not know what's please answer this. I just see a bunch of words. And the only way I could do some math problem is only when they're just long, listed out math. Then I would compete with the the person who just came from Korea, who didn't know English either. So we just compete who can do the math the fastest. And that's all we could do in the class. And you just, when you turn it in, right, you just see all the white people. So fast, because we just do it mentally. That's the only thing I can do. So I failed my ninth grade. And at the end of ninth grade, I had to move. I was worried, because if you fail everything, you have to retake. But I really thank God, when I moved to the new school, they actually didn't hold me back. They started me with the next level. So I failed my Algebra 1 and my English, but they start next year when I moved to the next school, they started me with Algebra 2. When I was in high school, I didn't realize this. I just kind of go along with everything. But thinking back, how is it possible that I was able to pass all these failing classes? They did not even keep record of all my fails. And I just move on to high school. To me, it was really the grace of God. It was when I moved here that I think the faith of my parents passed down to me. As you can imagine, the frustration I had, I do not know a word. I was very sad and depressed. Like, I was close to the point of clinical depression. I would just, when I go home, I would just cry in bed. Because you open the book, you don't know any word. You give it to your parents, they're just like, I can't help you. My brother, when he goes to 7-Eleven, I need to say something for him to buy candy. Because he doesn't know how to buy anything. And I was just so sad and depressed. So I would just go to school and go home every day then without talking to anyone. And I would cry in my bed and then just wake up for the next day and then just go through the cycles again. And one time during high school, when I used to come to BP, they need an RE teacher. They decided to send me to do the RETS in 06. And I did not have Holy Spirit back then. But so you know, if you want to be an RE teacher, you need the Holy Spirit. Whoever they said need the Holy Spirit. I was just like, huh? They sent me, and I was sad and depressed. Everything is wrong with me. And the RE department decided to send me. I was very conflicted. I don't know how to tell them, like, I don't have the Holy Spirit. So that year was Pastor Huang, and he was here too. So the night before RETS, I went to knock on Pastor Huang's door, like at his house. And Pastor was surprised that I was there. I was just like, Pastor Huang, I don't have Holy Spirit. I don't think I need to go to RETS. But Pastor Huang was really understanding that. He told me, it'll be fine, just go. We'll see how God would guide you. So I went, and RETS was intense for me. That was my first seminar when I was a junior in high school. You remember I was depressed and sad. So I was like, what's the point for me? I give up on all the tests. Like when they told me to do memory verse, I'm just like, oh, I'm not gonna get the certificate because I don't have Holy Spirit. And what's the point for me to go and even participate? I just give up on myself. But really, there was one prayer that I went to the front. I don't know why. It was somewhere into the RETS. I would just start. I was in my prayer, I was talking to God how sad and lonely I was. There was no one there for me. My family does not know anything about me or the struggle I have in school to keep my grade. I was talking to God. Then I just cry and cry. Even Pastor Hong just said, what's wrong with this brother? It was just like raining down. It was just so sad, right? Then it was during that prayer when I told God how lonely I've been with the years without you when I was here. It's been 3 years. So freshman to junior, I've lived like that for 3 years in high school. And you know, high school is not the nicest place you can be sometimes. Sometimes people can be mean if you're a new immigrant. You speak with certain accent, they make fun of you. But during that prayer, I was crying to God, and all of a sudden I feel this heat coming down. And there's this tingly feeling, like, I don't know what it is, but it's tingly feeling just like coming from my stomach. Then I was like, I think I just received Holy Spirit. But I was just still crying, and at the end of the prayer, Pastor Huang was like, you have the Holy Spirit. And during that RETS, I actually got certified. I was at, after the Holy Spirit, I need to get my certificate now. So that's how I got my Holy Spirit in my high school year. And without, and I was just so happy the moment I received the Holy Spirit. It's that all the negative feelings are just gone. They're just magically disappeared. You don't remember anything. You don't hold grudge against anything. You're just so happy. I was just so happy that I had the Holy Spirit. And starting with that event, I attended almost all the church events. We started doing music camp at NYTS. And during my high school years, I did not take any honor or APs. Because I was just like, my English is so bad, I'm just going to go to a community college, so I'll just transfer later because there's no way for me to apply to a UC or any four-year college for me. And I really thank God that I choose to apply to a city college. As long as you're a certain age or a graduate, you can apply to a city college. Almost everyone my age from Bowling Park, they worked so hard in high school. They took SAT, AP, and honor, and some of them had to skip Saturday. And guess what? We all end up in the same community college. Okay, and I really thank God because my family is not like the richest family. Each semester, it only requires them to pay $500 for a semester. That includes all the fees, parking, and textbook. So in my college year, the first 2 years of college year, it really saved my family a lot of money. And I remember there's one class when I was in college, there's one class I had a hard time with. For my program, they recommend 3 years because there's sequential courses that people are often failing. So they require you to take extra years. But I just want to graduate, so I just cram everything into 2 years. Obviously, it backfired me. I was taking 10 classes in college. It was 21.5 units for me. I had a hard time in one of my class. I study and study. It's just one of those classes, even the natives, they're just like, everyone's failing. And I realized I was failing that class. Then before the midterm, like we all do, I calculate everything. Okay, I was like, okay, I need this to pass and this. So when I was home, I studied. I really studied. Then after I studied, I prayed to God. God, please help me. I really need to pass this. Then so I can transfer. I want to transfer in 2 years. Okay, the next day during the midterm, the instructor, the professor passed on the test. Then I realized I completely studied the wrong material. Like I studied the wrong chapter. I don't even understand how I was so stupid. Like just the wrong chapter. How did I do this? And really at that moment, I'm just so defeated that before I start to take a test, I just say a silent prayer. God, all I need is a C to pass this course. I really want to transfer. All I need is a C. Please just give me a C. I'm not going to ask for an A or a B. Just give me a C. I just want to pass this class. So I pray and I took a test. Obviously, I don't really understand what I was writing because I didn't study the material. And after I prayed, for some reason, I was okay. Doesn't matter the result. I was just like, whatever it will happen, God will guide me. And when the test was being passed on, I don't know if you do this, but I do this like, you fold the score, and you're like, what am I getting? Am I failing this class or not? So I was like covering the top right with my score. And I was moving. Okay, so I do the single digit first. Okay, then you move on to the double digit, so you know. And guess what grade I got? I got a 75. It's not a C plus or a C minus. Then I was actually a solid C. And so many people fail that test and they were all frustrated with the class and we start comparing our tests. And I realized there's like parts, like a short answer part. People just write it like a full-on paragraph. I wrote 2 sentences, 4 credit. They got none. then I realized it's that things you cannot explain. It's really when I reached the point, there's nothing I can do. From the bottom of your heart, you just know it's not because of you. Because I completely studied the wrong material. And for me to get like a solid C made me so happy because God really listened to my prayer. If God gave me a B, I'd probably be less happy because God is like literally a C, like 75, right in the middle. No, but as happy as I was, then I was weak too. Then I started wondering, what if I just pray for an A? Or a B, you know, wouldn't it be better? But at the very end, I passed that the sequential courses with A's. All the A's. I was the one or two people that were able to pass the class. Even when I was so defeated, I don't know anything during the midterm, I still passed the class with A. That was just, to me, it was too unbelievable. Because I calculated and calculated, I was gonna fail. But how do I just jump three letters? And as I mentioned, I want to transfer in 2 years. But after that experience, I was just, oh my goodness, I was so defeated. So actually, I was thinking to myself, maybe I should just take 3 years. Even though one time in my prayer, I was talking to God, God, can I just transfer in 2 years? But because what I would face in the courses, I was just like, maybe I'll just take 3 years just to make myself have an easier life. And when I was thinking that, there was a member from BP that she was also in the same city college, and she was at my house bringing her application. I was just curious, right? What do you do to transfer? Because I just give up. I really just give up on the whole idea of transferring. I was looking at her application, then I started getting curious, and I was looking at mine. And I realized that I was able to transfer. Like, I fulfilled the requirement to transfer, but the deadline was like in a week. So what I did was I just filled out the information, sent in the money, and sent out one application to the school I want, just only one. Then I kneeled down and prayed. I was like, God, if it's your will, please just guide me through. And I just forget about the whole thing. Then when the time comes, that I was actually accepted. I didn't do anything in my college, but I was accepted into the four-year university just by filling out my basic information and sending the money. I was accepted to the only one school that I want to go. Normally, we send out like four or five, then hopefully get into one. But I really thank God that through all this time, when my English was so poor, I did not know anything what to do. My parents didn't know how to apply to college. They only went to high school. Then they didn't even receive college education at all. So I did had to do all these by myself. Then through this experience, I really thank God that He had guided me through my whole high school and college years when I needed Him. And I realized He was my God, not only my parents' God, and He was my God. Because when I needed Him, He was there, and He answered my prayer. And through all different stages of my school years, I go through ups and downs. And I realize when I'm down, I actually do really bad in school. I will always have an F when I'm down. Then I will come back up, then my grades will be okay again. And so I transferred, it was just so smooth. I go in for an interview, I was accepted. Then I started thinking about, actually I have to move and pack. Then it was just that smooth. It was too unbelievable for me to know that all I did was send in the money and application, and that's it for me. And I went to a school that I wanted to go. And obviously, when I went to the university, I was away from home. And a lot of times, no one was there to tell. I chose a school that had a church, but no one was there to call me, like, hey, did you go to church? Anything. So sometimes I would miss family service or a Friday night service because I was lazy. Then I realized after I transferred, I started failing my classes just when I stopped going to churches. It's not like I completely fall away from church, but I just simply did not go to services. Then my grades started dropping. And there's one incident before I the year after graduate, I realized my advisor missed out my plan. So all these 4 years, I'm working hard, working so hard towards the 4-year graduation. I finish everything in 4 years instead of 5. Then I realized I had to take a course that my advisor missed that only comes out every 2 years. So for me to graduate, it will be not the next year, but in 2 years, because I missed the year that offered, which is the year that I was supposed to graduate. Okay, so I'm done with everything, then I just need to wait 2 years for that one class. Then I realized, why is this happening? And it was really that moment I realized I was just so far away from God, too far away from God, that things are happening to me that I don't, it's things going against me in life. And miraculously, when I start going to church, I actually got that class waived. Like, it was a core requirement. I just got the class waived from my program. I do not have to take the class to graduate. And I graduated in 4 years. And through all this time, I had a 2 part-time jobs, one when I was in City College, one when I was in the university. And one in the City College, I did not look for that job. In college, I was thinking I should just look for a job so I can buy stuff that I need, accessory for my major. It requires a lot of money. Then I was thinking about getting a job. It was during the time when I was attending NYTS and doing church work, when I was somewhat spiritual high. Then I was just thinking about getting a job, and my friend grabbed me in one of the poli-sci classes, and she's like, I'm thinking about applying to this job at the mall, but I don't want to go alone. Can you and the other person go with me? We said, okay, sure, I need a job, but it's not even though I don't really want the job specifically that you have, you're looking for, but we just all went and applied. And so they really wanted that job. My friend really wanted that job. But we all applied at the same time, but I was the only one who got a call the same day I applied. So they give me a call. They're like telling me, can you go for an interview next week? I was like, sure, yeah, what does it matter? Because I don't, Then I went for the interview. Then after the interview, he's like, we'll call you in the future if we need you. I was like, okay, and then I go home. The same night, they call me, can you start working tomorrow? And to me, it was just so smooth that it really was God's guidance, because my other friends who really wanted a job, they didn't get hired. So I didn't really tell them for a month. I didn't tell them I started working, because they really wanted that job. And another job I had when I was in the university, because I was away from home, I need a job to still supply my major stuff. Then I was just sitting there drinking my coffee. In the morning, I go to school around 7 in the morning to start my day and do my things. Then I was sitting there at the coffee shop, and the manager was just making coffee and stuff. Then I was sitting on the counter, and he just leaned towards me. Do you need a job? I was like, yes. Then he said, we have an opening. How about you just start next week? I'll teach you everything you need to know. Then that's how I found my second job. And even after college, for all the jobs I've had, I didn't look for any one of them. I had 5 jobs, and they all came to me. But I realized they came to me at a time when I was doing well spiritually. And I used to not like the name Joseph. I picked it myself, right? Joe, so easy to write. It's like the 3 letters and I'm done, because my English is so bad. I just need to write 3 letters and I'm done. Then I realized Joe is not special. Like, the connotation, like average Joe, you're nothing. But I realized the more I experienced God through my high school and college, the more I liked my name. Because the name Joseph, that means God adds. Then God has truly adds the things that I really need in life. Even sometimes I don't even have to pray like a long time and ask him. But he just always one or two steps ahead of me. He always prepared things for me. And before I end, I'd like to share a verse with you, which is Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when I was in high school, I was depressed. God was not in the picture. But God knew I need the Holy Spirit to make me better. So he planned me for me to go to the RETS. Normally, you wouldn't be able to go to RETS if you do not have the Holy Spirit. And God knew that I needed him when I was in high school and in college. And he was always there for me when I, even if I'm sometimes not there for him. And I really thank God for guiding me through all these years of my life, because I really truly taste his grace and how much grace he had for me. Because I was so far away from him, but he still loved me and willing to bring me back and prepare everything there for me. Nowadays, you can't even find it. You can send in 10 applications. You can't find a single job. So hard to get into schools nowadays. And God was always there for me. And I realized one thing. And that's one thing is the way I pray. A lot of times when I pray, I did not ask God, God, please send me to this school. God, please send me there or give me this job. A lot of time when the situation calls when I need to pray, I simply, because I don't know what's the right choice, I just ask God, please guide me. But I don't give God a choice, A or B, or please, I really want to do A. Then for some reason, God always have provided me the best things that I could have at that moment. Now this concludes my testimony. May all the glory and praise be unto his name.
Please thank God for Brother Joseph's testimony. You know, one of the most diagnosed disorder is adjustment disorder. Adjustment disorder. You know what that is? Adjustment disorder. So, for example, when Brother Joseph came from Taiwan to here at 14 years old, it's so hard for him to adapt or to adjust this kind of environment. So quite often, it's very, very difficult. That's why if you really think about your parents, what they have to go through when they, you know, move everything to come here to this country. I mean, at age 14, it's still hard for you to adapt. Can you imagine if you're in your 50s and 60, right? Because at 14, of course, even took you about 3 years to learn English, right? But for older, you know, for your parents' age, it can be, it's so difficult for them, right? And the reason they come here, what, they want to give you bad opportunity, right? In education and also in life. So that's why I really, you know, give thanks to your parents and what they have done for all of you, because it's not easy for them. Just like my father too, I mean, my father came to this country, and I mean, when he was in Cambodia, actually he was a very big guy, right? He's in a sense that he's like the governor of that area and this and that, right? When we came to this country, he left everything, right? Came here with nothing at all. And came to this country, got so discriminated against, right? He got spat on. You would get fights and stuff like that, right? And he was a nobody. And for me, when I think about this, I always really give thanks to my parents, right? Because they came here only one reason, is for the children a better opportunity. So that's why, I mean, for what Brother Joe is going, and praise and thank God, because he has God, right? Without God, none of these things will happen, all the things that he shared with you, right? Through his high school years, through his college years, all those time, because God was by his side. And God was the one that guided him step by step to the point that, look, everything that God had offered him is what, you know, I mean, even though he didn't pray and ask for it, but God knew what is best for him. I mean, the going to the college situation and also getting a job situation, right? And, you know, I mean, it's just really amazing. Because, but you also realize that when God was not close to him, right, when he's far from God, then this one class that he missed and his advisor missed. And it's interesting, right? You think about our 10 classes, right? there's one class that he had to take so he can, you know, transfer his college. But then he realized, and then he came back, you know, to draw himself closer to God. And then, for one reason or another, they waived their class for him. And that's unheard of, right? Only through God they can, you know. How can you waive a class if that class is a core requirement for you to transfer? Because only God, right? Really. You know, the Bible says, you know, a leopard can never change its spot, right? A crooked can never make straight. But that's only under heaven. Beyond heaven, God can do everything. He can even make the leopard spot to have no spots at all, right? The crooked road becomes straight just like that. So that's why for us, it doesn't matter what we do. We put God first, and God will take care of us. So really praise and thank God for Brother Joseph's testimony. And hopefully that you and I can be encouraged and really learn how to put God first in our lives. It's a, you know, blessing upon blessing if we do that. Thank you. Now we can ask Sister Candace to come up.
Last year, during an RE teacher's workshop, a brother asked us to think about and briefly share about who God is to each one of us. He asked all of us to think back to how our relationship with God developed throughout each period of our lives. Thank you. As I look back into the past, I realized that this was the first time that I took a look at God's guidance from the entire range of my life. As I wrote down each milestone of my faith, my heart was filled with thanks at how he walked with me, how he carried me, and how he taught me. Each stretch of the way, God strengthened me and let me know that he was there with me, starting from the beginning of my life. So just a brief background. My father's family moved from the countryside of Taiwan to Southern California when he was in high school. And my grandfather's coworker here in SoCal shared the gospel with him, and God led the family to church. Even after my grandfather faded away from the church, my grandmother, my dad, and his siblings continued to attend services under God's protection. My mother, who lived in Banqiao, Taiwan, is also a first-generation believer. They were introduced through church members and were married in Garden Grove Church. In 1992, my brother was born, followed by me in 1994. When I was born, it seemed that everything was fine, but it wasn't long until I started having a strange growth behind my left ear. It grew over time into the size of an egg, and it looked quite scary next to an infant's face. My parents took me to the doctor, and thank God it was only a benign tumor. They considered surgery to remove it, but were afraid of permanently scarring my tissues around the face or the nerves. My parents and family turned to prayer, and by the grace of God, the tumor began to shrink by itself, and it left no scar. This was a testimony often told to me by my parents. Of course, I have no recollection of it, so every time they shared this with me when I was little, I felt behind my ears, feeling the slightly looser skin behind my left ear compared to my right. This testimony, along with others about how my mom came to believe, plus kindergarten classes, introduced me to God as a God who has power over everything. He was a very almighty God with the ability to do great things. And he was a God important to my parents. By God's movement, Cerritos Prayer House branched out of Garden Grove Church in the early 2000s. I was in first or second grade. Separating from RE classmates was difficult, and it felt odd to me at the time to have services in another church's chapel. In summer SSC of 2003, I received the precious Holy Spirit. My parents' God became a God who was really there for me and a God who listens to my prayers. Throughout the next few years in SSC, I became closer with a few other sisters. Both God's gift of the Holy Spirit and the warmth of friendships rooted in church seminars would be crucial to me in the next couple of years. My earliest recollection of RE classes at Cerritos was in the dining hall with five students in E2, including me. My RE teachers were the object of my admiration. I looked to them for examples, but as I grew, I gradually realized that after certain events, that even people in church, even RE teachers, are not perfect. And at the time, I only considered myself that I was hurt and upset, and I happened to be an oversensitive, over-observant kid, and directed my observation, unfortunately, to the negative points of people. This developed into distrust of my RE teachers, and by J1, I shut everyone out, besides a few sisters that I communicated with through email. For several years, I sat in class waiting for the RE teacher to choose a hymn and to begin singing along while I stared into the open hymn book. During meal times on Sabbath day, I sat in a certain spot that I liked and stared into the street or occasionally prayed in the chapel, but it was mostly bitter prayers. Throughout those years, I continued to attend RE classes and SSCs, and what was bottled inside me flew under suspicion, even though I didn't respond in RE class. And I guess the teachers thought that I was going through a rebellious stage early on, or believed that I was just extremely quiet. I shared only what I believed they wanted to hear, and in the most general way possible. And in this way, I passed off as an average kid during SSCs. The scariest things to me about church seminars were not the tests, but the fact that the pastor might call on me to read. The classes were edifying, but I was actually very nervous throughout every class, and I was very insecure. In seventh grade, my mom asked me to play piano for a Thursday night service. It was a Bible study, since there's nobody available. I agreed on the condition that I would not be put on the Tuesday night schedule. And I directly said to the holy worker who was in charge of scheduling that I did not want to be put on the schedule. And this was also out of insecurity. I hated to be pulled out of my narrow comfort zone. The church worker, however, mistook it for humility and added me anyway. My mom, who thought that I should help, since Cerritos had very few pianists, did not help me out of it. This only added to my resentment and distrust towards church members. My first offering to God as a pianist was out of an unwilling heart. But God, knowing this, was still very patient with me. He sent an RE teacher who challenged my comfort zone, first forcing us to choose a hymn, then singing, then making us write reflections, knowing that I was not willing to share anything. So I dreaded the time, the classes each time that she was assigned. During these years, my experiences in prayer during SSCs and ongoing emails with sisters gave me the desire to continue to come back to seminars. I knew that seminars was a place when I could listen to pastors talk about God. It was a place where I could feel God's presence in prayer, and a time when I could spend time with a few of the sisters that I trusted. I weighed the downside, which is sharing time in group discussion, and most of the time, all of the time, decided to go. As I entered J2, I started to attend RHTS, and the Holy Spirit gradually softened my heart with each year. Each summer, I became more determined to become submissive to what the RE teacher said and to what church workers asked. God taught me that serving him was serving others, and it was obedience. As Jesus served with a selfless love, I need to serve with the same type of love mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Can we all flip to that verse? Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. 5. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. 6. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8. Love never fails. And I also like to share another one of my favorite verses. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It means, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And God used his love to embrace me. Serving God became the most satisfying because of his love. It was during the years in RHTS that the sister from SSC and I strengthened our relationship as spiritual companions. Today, we continue to share blessings throughout each school semester. We share struggles and prayer requests as co-workers in Christ. 2 years ago, in 2012, I attended RUTS, and by God's grace, I am now teaching RU class, despite having been the problem student. God is a gentle teacher and a loving master. He shows me that he knows me better than I know myself, and he has the perfect plan. In Psalm chapter 139, it says, "You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together." God's Spirit can create the universe, can perform miracles of healing, and it can also transform people's hearts. He tells us in Zechariah 4, verse 6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit." From RETS till now, there are many times when it seemed as if the holy work that God was giving to me through the church were impossible. For example, serving as counselor and trying to initiate discussion when I was the one who always wished to get out of sharing. I believe that God's love will make all things possible because his grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect in weakness. He is my solid rock that I can lean on whenever I feel discouraged in servitude. He was with me and he will be with me every step of the way. So may God lead all of us so that we can know him more and more. May all glory, honor, and praise be given unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise and thank God for Sister Candace's testimony. As you notice that Sister Candace, she doesn't really like too much to talk in front of people, right? So during one of the counselor meetings we had, we were like, "Oh, all four of you have to testify," and she looked at me like, So, but praise and thank God she's up here, you know, to testify God's grace and God's guidance. And she reminds me a lot of my own niece, Paulina. She doesn't like to talk in public and this and that. But all of us, we all have different ways, right? God always trains us, you know, differently, right? And for Candace, you can see in the beginning that she really rely a lot on her RE teachers, and then she realized that even RE teachers, they're not perfect. So that's a very important point because, you know, when we look up to someone, make sure we look up to our Lord Jesus Christ. Even as pastor, I sin plenty against God also, right? So the main thing is we continue to encourage one another, we continue to learn from one another, but ultimately, the person we look up to is our Lord Jesus Christ, and only then that you and I will never be disappointed. But of course, it's always good to have an older brother and old sisters. Talk about spiritually, right? That we can talk to, we can get advice from. It's good. But never put them on a pedestal. Because Because the time we put them on a pedestal, of course, sometimes they become our own God, right? So then sooner or later, God will make us feel that actually they will disappoint us. So that's why our faith is always should be in our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, right, when she, you know, when she received the Holy Spirit in 2003, and during that time she, you know, started to develop friendship with some of the sisters, right? And this is important, right? Because even though we can have friends outside the church, but when, you know, what they say and what they do are very different than what you and I say and what we do. So it's important to develop friendship with, you know, with our brothers and sisters, to just have spiritual friends. And of course, you know, and then she's later on, you can see that she doesn't really want to do things, holy work for God, right? Because she's just shy, right? It's some people, she's shy, and my niece is shy. And every time when my niece was, because every morning we get up and she, everybody have to take turn leading Bible study. And every time my niece Paulina lead Bible study, I can never hear her. She's like, I turn to Romans chapter 1. We're like, what? What are you saying, right? You know? But that's the way she is. But now I think she's pretty loud now. Right? She's pretty loud and she's outgoing, right? Because it takes time for God to train us. And all of us have different characters, right? Just like the three nieces. I mean, I have three nieces and one nephew. If you look at the characteristic, they're all very different, right? And that's why for me, I'm having a little hard time with my little nephew because, wow, the way he is so different from my wife and I, right? He's just like, he's so emotional, you know, like a little kid, he's so emotional. He's like, he's very girly. That's what I mean, he's very girly. But for even my wife, she's not girly, you know? My wife's not even girly. I'm good, I'm not girly, right? And, you know, so that's why it's important that know yourself, right? Know yourself. I think right now, Sister Candace, I think the whole testimony, I keep thinking that actually God is training her little by little to know herself and to appreciate of who she is. And the same thing for us, right? Don't look at others and to be like them, no. Just embrace what you have, right? Never mind the peer pressure things, right? Whatever it is. Because in the eyes of God, all of you are His children. And all of you are beautiful in His eyes. So that's what's important, right? So the most important thing is know ourselves and appreciate who we are. Especially when you go to college and you know a lot of peer pressure and things like that. But don't mind all those things. Because on the end, the person that you want to impress the most is our Lord Jesus Christ. For me, I do exactly the same thing too. Right? Every single day I live my life, when I walk, when I talk, when I do anything, I always think to myself, does my Lord approve this of me? And the same thing should be for all of us. So hopefully at this age, you're trying to find who you are, what you are, and you know, don't be disappointed with yourself. Really, don't be so tough on yourself. Don't be disappointed on yourself. Love yourself, and God will always love us, no matter what. Even though sometimes we are very unique, right? I mean, I can't teach my niece how to, my niece, she's still not driving, Paulina, right? I think she just turned 21. And one time I took her out driving a parking lot, she's all yelling, oh, uncle, uncle! I'm like, what? It's like this telephone pole. I'm like, it's 500 yards away, and we're going 5 miles per hour. But that's the way she is, right? And then from then on, because, you know, God also teach me through her, right? Because when I'm driving, I don't have patience for the people who are bad drivers, you know? But now when I look at them, oh, my niece is really a bad driver. So now I have mercy on other people, right? So really, God teaches many different things. So thank you so much for coming up here to share with us how God have guided you and how God have trained you, right? So praise and thank God. Now we can ask Brother Joseph Kim.
Okay, before I start, disclaimer, I also don't like speaking in public, so yeah, just bear with me. So we first started to Obaris and Prince Alex. Hey, amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. So if you go out and flyer to other people, there are many different people you face, And I think after flying for a while, like, I kind of categorize different people into three different categories. So the first category of people is nice people. You know, they're just like either Christian, they're like, oh, thank you, you are preaching gospel, and then good luck, and then, you know, they're like, they encourage you. And the other one is neutral people. They're like, oh, just get it over with, just get the flight and then just go, don't talk to me. Yeah, so they're just a neutral, you don't get hurt or you don't get encouragement. And the last category is dangerous people. So not only, sometimes I face a lot of people who are mentally dangerous, like harming or challenging you, like some people hissing at you, curse at you, or like say something really, really, really mean, so you kind of like, you hear it and it's like, oh, so hurt. But also there's another dangerous people who are spiritually dangerous. And like most of the people who I face in spiritually dangerous, they are mostly atheists, I figured. And maybe it's setting of UCSD where they encourage you, like, you know, learn more and, you know, research. Their job is their life. A lot of people are very smart. And most of the time I face like atheists, either like professor so-and-so, or like doctor so-and-so, come and talk to me about like evolution theory, Big Bang theory, like some like medical people come talk about like chromosome and stuff, and I'm like, okay, I don't understand what you're talking about. and other people also talk about like all like different histories, how Jesus cannot exist, like God is all fake. Religion is a method to control other people in a political way. But all this like spiritually dangerous statement, and like most of them, they come up to me, they normally talk about 1 to 2 hours straight, and they don't want me to talk, they just like talk and talk and talk. So I figure they're not wanna like have a conversation with me, but they rather have like, you know, discourage me and to like let me down. They just want to prove that, you know, all Christianity is nothing. And some people, they have fun with it. So they enjoy it and they go around like UCSD like once a day, look out for Christian groups, and they go up to them and then like start arguing. But no matter how hard they try to let me down, there is one thing that I cannot, like be tempted, or yeah, because I always come back to God, no matter what kind of thing I hear, because of my experience with God when I was really, really young. Almost I was 1 year old. I was diagnosed with both asthma and chronic bronchitis. And what are those is, asthma is a disease that make your airway swollen through the lung. So most of the time your airway is very, very thin. So it's really hard to breathe in the air. And at the same time, chronic bronchitis is, it's a very rare disease where you get, you don't have a cell to cooperate with like O2. So even though you breathe in the air, it's hard to get the oxygen out from the air. And also it comes with other infections in the lung. So basically it's really, really hard for me to breathe. So starting from 1 year to about 2 year old, I was having that trouble. And most people say, like in my psychology class and stuff, you don't remember before like 2 years old or something. I don't know. But I think I kind of remember one thing. It's a pain of not breathing, not able to be breathed freely. And it was really, really painful. So for all this, the time I had the disease, I was struggling so hard. So what it feels like, it's like every time you breathe, you have to squeeze the air into your body. And it's like very, I don't know how to describe that feeling. So it's really hard. So you eventually like force yourself too hard. So your veins in your faces start popping up. So when I was a baby, all of my faces were like bruises all over my face because of the internal like popping out of my vein. So it was really painful. And on top of that, so I cannot do any exercise. Well, I was a baby, so whatever. And when I'm sleeping, I cannot even lie down when I'm sleeping, because when you lie down, your muscles are less able to like contract. So I always have to like sit up and sleep. Otherwise, I cannot breathe. So I would just, you know, choke to death. Yeah. So I was living in that situation for a year, and then no wonder I had that habit. Sleeping while I'm sitting, so I was that became my habit, and I was sleeping like that until like I went to elementary school, because you know it became a habit. My life was miserable, I guess, and so was my parents' life, and my mom and dad. If you guys don't know, my dad is a doctor, and as a doctor, he sees his own son suffering with a disease, and my mom, of course, and they were just very stressed every day, and they were just so sad that I was born like this. And so when I went to Korea, one of the biggest hospital in Korea, Seoul University Hospital, they diagnosed. Well, the doctors are there are the top doctors in the entire Korea, and they diagnosed I would leave 13 days. I would have 13 days to leave. And at the time my mom heard it, she was actually glad, because she was seeing me suffering so much every day. She felt that rather this child to die, it's better than leaving because I'm suffering so much. From that day on, my dad and my mom prepared to get me baptized, because I was so sick that I couldn't get baptized when I was 1 year old. So I was meant to get baptized with my younger brother, David. And since I have 13 days left, they prayed to God with my 7-year-old grandma, and my mom, my dad fasted and prayed 3 day and 3 night. So what did they do? Just like wake up, pray, and then sing hymn, and then pray until like 3 days and nights are over. And they finally decided to give me baptism. And the thing was that the baptism, at the time I was diagnosed, it was like winter. And if you know Korean winter, it's like snow, they have like really, really cold, the rivers are frozen, and you actually have to break the ice in order to go there. And you know, think about it, like, what kind of person puts a patient who cannot breathe to a cold water? It's like a suicide, right? I can't even breathe out of the water, how can I breathe within, you know, cold, like icy winter water. So, but through faith, thank God my mom and dad decided to give me a baptism. And the day of my baptism, I was having very trouble with breathing. So my mom was like, oh, this child, you'll be okay within, you know, after you get baptized, you can just die. You know, you'll go to heaven, and you'll be free of this burden of breathing. And all this pain. So we drove all the way to the river, Hangang River, and then they baptized me. And I think, yeah, it's really miraculous how God works, because in terms of chronic bronchitis, it's like you don't have it. Like, it's a mutation that you don't have the cell. But when I went into the water and then when I came out, I was just like, oh, then I started breathing. And so I think, like, you know, within a second, God created all the cells in my lung to make me breathe. I don't know. I don't know how powerful God is. And then even after that, my there's no symptom, there's no medication I take even now. Even asthma, asthma and chronic bronchitis is two of the most popular uncurable disease, lung disease in America and throughout the entire world. And even if you have it and if you can cure it, then you can just, you know, you have it throughout your life until you die. And for those people, you cannot exercise, you know, you have a lot of limitation. And then right now, look at me, I'm like, you know, I can run as fast as you can. And then I like practice trombone and stuff, which is very, very demanding in terms of your lung. But I do everything, and I can do everything because of the grace of God. And I was looking through what the disease I had. And since I'm a biology major, I kind of, like, you know, the more I study it, the more I feel like, wow, this is, like, amazing that what God did for me. And so if you type up the chronic bronchitis on, like, you know, research, medical research program, the first word you get is, this disease is not curable, and there is no cure for this disease. And so, yeah, it's amazing how God just, like, you know, it's like, it's like 5 minutes, your disease is, like, gone. So, so to conclude, I think we can all turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 37. I think this is the shortest message, shortest passage I ever shared. So 37, it reads, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." This is a passage where angel came to Mary and assured that she will get Jesus, and then it's angel's encouragement to Mary. But I think it's really, really short, but it's really hard to believe in our daily lives, and then not a lot of people are believing in it. So I think we can all, I hope throughout this IHS we can all learn how amazing God is, how there is with God, if you don't have any limitation, if you don't have any impossible thing, if God willing, He can just, you know, move this mountain to another place, and then it's like no problem. But before that, I think I want to emphasize on how my mom and my dad and my grandma prayed, fasting and prayed for 3 days, 3 nights. So without their prayers, I would not be able to cure it. So going back to the first story of my flying, you have to face a lot of difficulties when you try to preach to other people, especially when you are not that intelligent. For me, I'm not that intelligent, so I always have trouble with what are they saying, what are they trying to make point of. But then, if you have that one experience with God, no matter what they say, it's just like, you know, you can discard it. It's like garbage. Because you know how hard you want to try. There is no God. If you can experience God, and you are the miracle itself, then there's no way that they can disprove there is no God. So I really thank God that God let me leave. God let me experience the joy of flying to other people. God let me experience the struggling that you face with talking with intelligent people. But yeah, all it's worth it. And I really thank God that God has guided me through my entire life. He initiated my life. and give me a new life. So may all the glory, power, and honor be unto His holy name.
Praise and thank God for Brother Joseph's testimony. And when he got baptized, he really born again, right? It's really amazing, right? Not only spiritually born again, but God physically gave him all this new cell that is, you know, that is work, that the cell that is, you know, is working in his body. So really praise and thank God. And I mean, the thing that he stressed that is true right before baptism, that, you know, the people that love him the most prayed for him, right? 3 days and three nights. And, you know, through prayer, that's why God be able to perform this great miracle in his life. And even though he goes out and, you know, preach to others, even though he mentioned there's three different type of people, nice people, neutral people, and dangerous people, right? But to him, it doesn't matter. Why? Because he had the experience, right, in Christ. And the experience will pretty much guide him through his whole life. And the same thing, I mean, just like I've shared with you, just like, you know, when Peter was on top of the mountain of Transfiguration, that one experience, he remembered the rest of his life. And even at an old age, when he was writing his epistle, he still remembered that holy day, that glorious day. So that's why it's important for all of us to experience God yourself. Because the God is not only God of Abraham, but also Isaac and Jacob. Because God is an individual God, he's a personal God. That's why for me, no matter where I go, no matter what I do, no one can never say TJC is not a true church of God. Why? Because I've been to many other churches before. When I came to this church, this is when I experienced God. When I came to church, that's when I received the Holy Spirit. When I came to this church, when I read the Bible came in three dimensions. That's why I know this church is a true church of God. Even though I speak to many other people about, you know, the truth, but overall, just like Brother Joseph said, he just negates all those other things. Most of them are nonsense, right? The Big Bang Theory, right? Evolution theories, all those nonsense stuff, right? So don't try to win, right? Over, you know, talking over it, but rather discard it, just throw it away. Why? Because our foundation is the Word of God, is what God has given to us. And this is what's important. If we think we are more wise than those people who try to argue with them, on the end we'll become deceived. And that's what Satan wants to do, engage us in this kind of conversation. Just like for Eve. If Eve did not go to talk to the serpent, she would not be tempted, right? Why? Because she's not talking. So for us, the same thing. Even though quite often that, you know, in our minds, we try to do many things, right? Try to understand things. But always remember Deuteronomy 29:29, right? What did it say? Deuteronomy 29:20. Let's read that, right? Please remember this verse. And this verse is very important. Right? And say what? The secret things, right, belong to the Lord our God. Right? But the thing that is revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So remember this. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. So quite often in our faith, we might not understand certain things, but it doesn't mean it does not exist. It doesn't mean it's not real. I mean, look at Brother Joseph's testimony. I mean, there's no way that, you know, the asthma that he have, and also, I don't know, the other disease, right, that you have, I never heard of it, right? It's not curable. But God, baptism, go in, came out, is over, everything is fixed, right? That is amazing. The same with my nephew. My nephew, when he came to live with us at 4 years old, he had asthma, and he always had to be on machines. Right? He had this whole machine that he had to put on him, things like that. After baptism, now he's running around like crazy. I had to stop telling him, don't run around, right? That is God. God is so wonderful. So we really praise and thank God, and through Brother Joseph's testimony, you can see, right? Make our faith simple. And the things that God does for us in our lives, let's make it, you know, for us to experience it and to remember it, so we can bring this to our whole faith, and no one can deceive us, because God is real. So we praise and thank God. I know that we have, our time is up, but we have a prayer session next, so I'm going to, Sister Amanda, you can take take some of my time during the prayer session. Okay? So I, yeah, let's just take a break so you can, your mind can rest a little bit, right? Let's bow in prayer, friends.